Goeienaand en baie welkom by Poort FM, jou kwasiostasie. As jy sopas aangeskakel het, jy luister na Vermaak met Liesel. Die heropening van skole is maar 'n taai tamaletjie. Ouers is bekommerd oor hulle kinders en onderwysers wat vrees vir hulle lewens en die van hulle gesinne wat blootgestel word. Aan die einde van Junie het meer as 1000 onderwysers positief getoets vir COVID-19. Die vraag nou is die sluiting van skole einde Augustus 'n goeie idee? Ek het vroeër met meneer Basil Manuel, uitvoerende direkteur van Eptosa, gepraat. Mr. Basil Manuel, born and bred in KZN in Kokstad specifically, but have spent his entire life in Pietermaritzburg. He taught at Little Flower in Inkopa and Heilbron High in Pietermaritzburg until his appointment to Forest Hill Primary School as principal. He remained there as principal for 18 years until he took up the position as executive director of NAPTOSA in January 2016. His 30 years in education has equipped him with a sound background and understanding of education at all levels. He has been the vice, the deputy, and also the president of NAPTOSA for 2 terms. He has written numerous articles and speak regularly at a variety of conferences, both locally and internationally. He is passionate about gardening and has been greatly blessed by having been able to travel abroad many times, fulfilling his passion as a geography teacher at heart. He and his wife live in Pretoria, while his children, who are all grown, are in Pietermaritzburg. His motto in life is, I will not die in unlived life. I will not live in fear of falling or catching fire. I choose to inhabit my days. Dit is die bio van meneer Basil Manuel. Ek het vroeger met hom gepraat en dit is wat hy te sê het oor die opening van die skole en die beslissing of wat die ministerie van basiese onderwys gaan besluit of te sê of hulle besluite van gaan die skole oop bly of gaan die skole sluit.
Mr. Manuel, what are your views regarding teachers' fears of going back to school?
Good afternoon, I'm Basil Manuel, the executive director of NAPTOSA. At first, teachers are extremely fearful of being at school and also of the larger numbers of children coming back to school for a variety of reasons. It is not about not wanting to teach. I want to stress that. But it is also about the unknown factor of the virus. Nobody knows how it is playing itself out. In addition to that, we also have a situation where so many teachers are being affected and infected. And then, of course, we have a lot of high school children in particular, but not only there, also primary school children, but to a much lesser degree, being infected. And this, of course, chases up the fears and concerns and anxieties. So the issue is not really about illness, but it is about the levels of anxiety and the psychosocial, the psychological health of our membership. They are simply terrified. It's further aided and abetted by parents who are also terrified.
The minister persists that the school must be open. Can you perhaps give us a reason why?
On the next account, the minister insisting that schools must be open. I think that the correct thing would be to say that we as the unions have supported a view that the best place for children is in a school. But certainly what we did indicate was, as NAPTOSA, not at all costs. We certainly wish to see that if the system is right, if safety precautions are correct, we would like to see children back in school, because it is better for kids to be in school than running around in the streets. However, given the peak of the pandemic, we don't believe it's the right time, and hence our contention that the minister now needs to sit up and look at the signs of the times. Because when we agreed with her to reopen schools, we did say this is not a blank check. It's not automatic that we will continue supporting. We will support it, if and when, and only under the conditions that it is safe to do so. We don't believe at the peak of a pandemic that it is a good idea.
Do you have any stats that prove the infection rate of teachers and learners at schools?
Insofar as statistics that prove that the infection rate of learners and teachers at school are increasing. Yes, there are statistics. I don't have them at hand, but I can tell you that NAPTOSA as a union on its own, we've lost around about 30 teachers to the pandemic. Now, that's 30 families that have lost loved ones. There are a number of children that have also succumbed. I think the last figure I saw was 8 or 9. And that sounds small. But if you only worried about the statistic, then you are not thinking about the humanity behind this. Every life is precious. And everybody who loses a loved one is shattered. And even more difficult is losing a child. So, but the infection rates are much higher than the death rates. So in the Western Cape, where we've seen a very, very high infection rate up to now, before Gauteng started taking over, we saw thousands of teachers falling prey to this. Not thousands being infected, but in fact being affected by it because they were in proximity to or they were in the same school as somebody that was infected. And so it has certainly impacted on a lot more people than it has infected.
What about social distancing?
Insofar as social distancing is concerned, in our country as a whole, I don't think our people have sufficiently bought into the idea that this is an essential and is necessary. We've seen the pics on the street. For heaven's sake, we've even seen funerals where people forget that this is still in the midst of a pandemic. But at the same time, at school, social distancing with children will always be difficult. We never ever believed that it was going to be easy because we certainly know how children behave. But, and there is another side to the story. How do you tell a little grade R or a little grade 1, no, you can't hug your teacher, no, you should not touch, no, you should not be close to your friend? That adds to the trauma, and it leads to feelings of rejection, etc. So it is a predicament that we are sitting with. It's a very difficult one, and even keeping children apart on the playground is difficult. Add to that the added difficulty of children in overcrowded schools where there is no space to even try and do this, and you will see exactly how difficult the lives of teachers become because they must man this, they must police this, they must see that this doesn't happen, and they take and bear the brunt of the criticism.
We all understand the predicament with the matriculants. What about the other learners?
Insofar as the matriculants, the predicament of the matriculants is concerned, we understand that everybody thinks they understand it. But of course, with the other learners, there is less pressure. Not less learning or less work, less pressure. Because the matriculants are at an exit point, whilst the other learners are not. I am particularly peeved. I'm fed up with the lack of understanding from our curriculum people that COVID-19 isn't only a punishment, it's also an opportunity. But if you don't look for the opportunities, you won't see it. We've been gifted a wonderful opportunity to forget the curriculum in the foundation and GET phase right up to grade 9 and concentrate on the weakest parts of the school. And they are reading for understanding or with understanding, and of course writing, and of course mathematics. And if we only did those three things and succeeded in this year, we would have done more and achieved more in this year than in any other year preceding this. And the idea of loss of teaching time, etc., would fade into insignificance. We need to be thinking differently, not as the now hackneyed phrase goes, thinking out of the box. We must throw the box away, and we must be thinking completely differently to how we have been thinking now. We've been socialized into thinking that the curriculum is sacrosanct. It's not. It is a product of our making. We created the curriculum. We can also change the curriculum.
What are you doing in assisting those teachers who don't want to go back to school?
Insofar as what we are doing to assist those teachers who don't want to go back to school. Now remember that if you just don't feel like going back to school, there's actually no help, to be very honest, because this is your job. And if you're going to get paid for a job, you must be prepared to get up in the morning and go to your job. But on the other hand, those teachers who have morbidities, who have comorbidities, that is now together with COVID. Yes, we've been party to negotiating a collective agreement, which allows that to happen. But of course, not just having high blood pressure can allow you to stay at home. It must be of a specific level and intensity and seriousness, and so too with asthma and the like. So we've already made sure that our members go out and they go and get the necessary documentation, etc. But if you are afraid that going to school will affect, and maybe infect somebody at home, that's a difficult one. Because in fact, only your condition can be looked at. When you are employed by any organization or company, they never look at your children or your grandchildren or your grandparents or parents for that matter. They look at you, they employ you.
Did you or your organization raise these concerns with the minister? If so, what's the minister's response?
So the question that you're asking is, do we as an organization, have we raised these concerns with the minister? And if so, what her response was? Now, let me say that we've been in consultation with the minister over a long period of time, protracted from the very beginning of the crisis. However, of course, it is, as the word goes, consultation. It's not a bargaining. It's not negotiations. It's only consultation. The minister is at liberty to accept or reject or just ignore what is being said. We hope that that doesn't happen, the latter. But of course, we have made many, many inputs, from what the calendar should look like to the curriculum, etc. And not everything has been taken to heart. But we do have a generally good working relationship. And our relationship, when I say it's good, it's a good working relationship, that doesn't mean we won't differ. It doesn't mean we won't differ strenuously and even be very unhappy with one another. But it does mean that we talk. And hopefully in talking we will achieve more, and we will have a greater sense of, understanding where we come from. We represent close to 70,000 teachers, of which almost 50,000 are state-employed teachers, and the others are governing body and private school teachers, and also, of course, non-teaching staff. We have our so-called ESP, our education support personnel, where we have a large number, and they are state-paid as well, and some of them are governing body-paid. So we speak for a large group of people, and their interests are extremely important. We want to ensure that our members feel safe with us. And then our members feel that we are representing them. And when we speak to the minister, we always foreground discussions with this view, that we are not speaking for ourselves or our own comforts. We are speaking on behalf of a large cohort of dedicated people, people that have kept the system going, and people that continue to do a job even when the chips are down. Teachers always show up, and that is why it is important that they be represented properly. Thank you very much. I hope that this was what you were looking for.